Be looking at Psalm 103. So if you have your Bible, the words will be up on the screen behind me as well. Psalm 103, and we're going to be looking at that and looking at why it's important in our prayer to praise and thank God, and begin with that. So Psalm 103, and I remembered my glasses this week. Says, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He has made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven. His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you angels, you his angels, you mighty one who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. It is good to be back. We weren't gone for too long, just a week. But it was at my mom's church, and you know, I think I'm related to about a quarter of the people there. But it was good to see them. But you know, it's good to be back here. But I wanted to share just a little bit with you about how I spent my winter vacation. This was our flight out. This was the first time that Jason's been on a plane. Kyle and Alyssa don't remember the last time they were on a plane, and Caitlin was five. So they had a great time. We flew out. This was this picture. You have to look in the back. It's actually a bit better of a picture. But this was the flight over. So between Chicago and Seattle, the whole flight was absolutely clear. This was over the Rocky Mountains. It was gorgeous, as you can tell from the wing we flew Southwest. This was when we went up sledding in the mountains. We were up at Mount Baker and went sledding up in the mountains. That was the day. This is my family. I'd like to introduce you to all of them. Just kidding. This is me getting ready for the wedding. Did you take that? I was looking through my phone this morning or yesterday. And I was like, where did that picture come from? So this is actually the nicer one. So we're getting ready for the wedding. I did the wedding for my cousin, and this is the ice storm. Some of you may have seen it on the national news. North of my mom's house, they had inches of ice on everything. It was absolutely gorgeous. It was driving through, and it's like driving through a crystal. Crystal shop with all the light hitting it the right way. The sun, it was absolutely gorgeous. Trees fell down everywhere. It was a mess. But it was a beautiful mess. This was a sunrise from my mom's place looking at the mountains. And then we flew home. As we were running around and doing there and sledding and doing this and that, I was thinking about it this week, that we just had a lot of fun, but the thing that I remembered and recalled as I was working on this message is the one thing that I didn't do all week, is spend time in my devotions. I was running here and there and having a great time. I went to church. I mean, I did a wedding, so it had some biblical stuff in it. But my time of reading, you know, starting to read my Pray the Word, that we were there for 2 days. I completely missed that, even though I brought the book along. My morning devotions that I'm in the routine of, I just missed. And you get out of the routine. So how many can relate to that? You go through life, you get into the routine, you're out of the routine, or maybe you're not even in the routine, or maybe you don't have a routine. But however it is, it's really simple and really easy to forget God in the midst of daily life. It's really easy to just go from the next thing to the next thing and do, at least at work for me, is go down my to-do list and try to get everything done and get into the routine. And then by the time you get down to the end of the day, it's like, oh, shoot. And then you try and then you fall asleep when you're reading. I was thinking about that this week, and the thought occurred to me, it's like, well, I better not kick myself too hard, because all of us do it. And I look in the Old Testament, and I see the people of Israel forgot God all the time. That's why you read the Psalms, and you read through Scripture, and oftentimes in Scripture, as they're reading a Psalm, it recalls what God has done. And I used to read those thinking, well, I know the whole story of Egypt. I know that he brought him into the Promised Land. I know that he did it. Why are you recalling this? And it's because we tend to forget what God has done. We tend to just keep going and move on. But there's a good vital importance that we're going to look at this morning, a vital importance to praise and thanksgiving in our prayer. And as we look at this month at prayer, it's vitally important that praise and thanksgiving not only be part of our prayer time, but leading our prayer time. Beginning the time that we spend with God, the time that we go through our day, the time that we understand. And so David in Psalm 103 begins with a personal call to praise in verses 1 and 2. He says, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Everything that is within me, everything just well up, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all his benefits. Praising and thanksgiving, forgetting not all his benefits, to remind us about who God is in our lives, the things we face day to day, the stuff that we go through. There's a significant importance for our life with God, for our prayers to be filled with praise and thanksgiving. When we look at the Lord's Prayer, the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. What does he begin with? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be, or holy is your name, hallowed be your name. Starting with reverence, starting with praise, starting with that adoration. It reminds us as we pray of who God is. It reminds us of who's sovereign. It reminds us of who's vitally important. When we start with our list of stuff and we start with ourselves, we often have a prayer time that begins in a self-centered way. But you can't start a prayer time with praise and adoration and thanksgiving and focusing on God and turn it into something well, you can, but it's far more difficult to have a self-centered prayer when you start focusing on who God is. So Jesus, when he teaches his disciples to pray, teaches us to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, to focus on who he is, to focus on what he's done. Praise and thanksgiving are necessary for the proper motivation for prayer. Now, that doesn't mean we can't, you know, shoot prayers to God, you know, praying for this person here and praying for that thing there or you know, individual. But in a regular pattern of prayer, in a regular steady diet of how we pray, beginning with praise is vitally important. David then lists some reasons here in Psalm 103 for God to be praised, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and compassion, satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. What a great list. He's giving God praise for forgiveness, for healing, for redemption, for love, for compassion, for satisfaction, for strength. That is certainly worth praising God for. Certainly worth praising God for. If we look around in our life and we look around at what God has done and what He has done in our life, there really shouldn't be any shortage of things to praise God for. Even if we're in a valley, there should be no shortage of what we can praise God for. Especially if we're at a mountaintop and everything's going well, there's lots to praise God for. But David's praise of God doesn't end there. Verse 6 through 9, he praises God for his love. God has compassion on his people. I mean, just stop for a moment and think about God's love and compassion on his people. Even those he loves, even those that he calls his own, he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in love. He doesn't repay us for wrongs. Even those of us who follow and strive to want to do God's will fall so short of the glory of God on a regular and steady basis. But God's love is overwhelming. God's compassion that we celebrate this morning has removed our transgressions, removed our sin, removed our wrongdoing, and removed it from us, taken the punishment that he deserved and put it on the cross on Jesus, and separates our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. He has compassion on us. He shows us his love. That sin that we do, we don't have to pay for any longer. We are separated from it. He shows us this incredible love because he is love. Because that's who God is. And he shows us compassion on all of his people. I love the picture and the stark reality that David puts in his psalm here. He knows how we were formed. He remembers that we're dust. We're like grass, like flowers of the field. They wilt and die. It comes and goes quickly. I often don't think of myself as a mere mortal. I don't think of myself as dust, as grass, as something that quickly comes and goes. But if we think about it, how frail is our life? A microscopic virus can kill us. Something we can't even see will end our life. Growth within us that we call cancer will cut our lives short because it can't be stopped. A freak accident. Driving home, or somebody's evil intent. How frail our life is. What a gift it is. And in the midst of that, David calls us to be mindful of the fact of who God is. That his love is from generation to generation of those who love him and keep his commandments. I was thinking about that. Generation after generation. So three generations. So my kids' grandchildren. Will my kids' grandchildren even know me? They might. My Facebook page will probably still be up long after I'm gone, so they can at least see pictures of my life. But they're not going to know me. They might hear stories that are passed on from my kids to their kids, my grandkids to my great-grandkids. But they're not going to know who I am. Life is short. It goes on. At the same point, God has compassion on those who fear him, on those who obey him, those who love him, that we are God and we belong to him. excuse me, that came out wrong, that we are God's possession and we belong to Him. We belong to Him, and our life may be forgotten, and we might pass on, and generation and might follow generation, but we will not be forgotten by Him. And so in our life, if we see a big picture, our big picture is not just, I got to get through today, I got to get through this, I got these goals, I got to do this, it's that we belong in body and soul, in life and in death, to our faithful Savior Jesus Christ. That we are His. That it gives us meaning and purpose and value. And so we praise. But why do we praise? Because praise is healthy for us. Have you ever thought about that? To praise is actually healthy for us. When we look at something we enjoy, we see a movie or we read a book or we like flying out to Washington and seeing some, you know, I grew up with that stuff, but incredible creation. What's the first thing that we want to do? Well, we want to tell other people about it. Look what I experienced. Look what I saw. Look at, and we just praise the picture. We say, look at this. You can't miss out on this. Whether it's a movie, like I saw this movie, it was great, and you've got to go see it because it just touched my heart, it touched my life, and now you've got to go. And you've got to see it too. Or I read this book, and you've got to go see it. And we just want to share that. Our imagination is captured by something, and it's unavoidable to share it. The enjoyment then overflows automatically out of who we are and what we experienced, that we have to tell others, and we delight in telling others about it. If praise is healthy for us, imagine just going and experiencing something absolutely phenomenal, and whether it's a movie or whether it's a book or whether it's climbing to the top of the mountain or flying over, you know, pictures that we saw flying over the Rockies, and it was just absolutely gorgeous. And just like, I just got to tell somebody, but I'm not going to. And you try to, have you ever tried to just hold something in like that? And you know, this great, really cool story, like the story of Rodney this morning. It's like, I just got to share this story. But you don't. It's just like, you can't, because it's just bursting forth. That's why praise is healthy for us. Tim Keller, in his book on prayer, reflects that praising God actually is healthy for us because it changes our heart. And it changes our soul and perspective to who God is. It changes it engages our hearts with our relationship with God. He says, we cannot merely believe in our minds that He, God, is loving or wise or great. We must praise Him for those things and praise Him to others if we are to move beyond abstract knowledge to heart-changing engagement. We can't just keep it up here as a cerebral thing. It has to be shared. It has to be brought out. It has to be shared if we're going to move from head to heart. C.S. Lewis says it this way. Says, the humblest and at the same time most balanced and capacious minds praised most, while the cranks, misfits, and malcontents praise least. The good critics found something to praise in many imperfect works. The bad ones continually narrowed the list of books we might be allowed to read. This is, of course, the context of when he was living. He was talking about that. The healthy and unaffected man, even if luxuriously brought up and widely experienced in good cookery, love the language of the English, could praise a modest meal. But the dyspeptic and the snob found fault with all. Except where intolerably adverse circumstances interfere, praise almost seems to be inner health made audible. Praise is our inner health made audible. Praise and thanksgiving is the overflowing of our relationship with God and understanding who God is and what it means to us made audible as we give praise and thanksgiving to Him. I would go so far as to say, C.S. Lewis would say, that if you're not praising, and if you're not engaging and sharing, and if you're not understanding, then as Tim Keller said, it hasn't made the move from here to here. And as C.S. Lewis would call us, cranks, misfits, and malcontents. Praise is vitally important. So David, once again, calls that overflowing of the soul pouring forth in speech about a mighty God a call to praise for the angels and those who do God's bidding and all creatures to praise the Lord. So we are to be people living with more praise and thanks. Living with more praise and thanks of who God is and what he's done. C.S. Lewis says, I have tried to make every pleasure into a channel of adoration. Things that we enjoy, delicious food, a good book, a great movie, good friends, go down your list and turn it into praise. God, I praise you for being a God of good things, and I thank you for giving this to me. You ever thank God that He created and made taste buds? When you sit down and you have a really, really good meal, and you're just like, God, I am so thankful that you gave me taste buds. This is so good. And just more little things to give God praise and thanks, to understand his goodness and understand his grace. The more we praise God, the more we will enjoy him fully. The more we praise God, the more we can know him more fully. The more we thank God, the more we realize his goodness and compassion and love. And the more we thank God, the more we will enjoy his gifts and the giver. The more we praise and thanks, the more our heart is transformed and our soul is changed. The more we praise and thanks, the more we know and love our incredible God. In our life in prayer, in our life of interacting with God, it's vitally important to begin with praise and thanks because it orients our heart to who he is and to what he's done. So for our prayer time this morning, as we've done before, just say we're going to open it up for a time where we can praise. And so we're going to have, God, I praise you because you are. And all you need to do is just yell one word or pray it silently. I know praying out loud makes some of you uncomfortable, and that's okay. You can pass. But just want to, as part of what we just looked at, praising God, part of that is making it audible and sharing. And so that helps our hearts too. And so we're going to spend a few moments praising God for who he is. God, I praise you because you are. And then we'll be looking at, God, I thank you for. And again, one word thing. I'll prompt that when we get there. And that'll be our closing prayer after the message. So let's join together and then prompt you on that when we get there. Lord God, we do thank you and praise you for your words of Psalm 103, for a call to praise, for a call.